and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore all avenues of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I'm so happy that you could join me. Today's show is brought to you in association with NasalGuard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants as well as indoor and outdoor allergens. It's great for travellers and pet lovers, as well as people who experience the misery of hay fever or seasonal allergies. And we'll be hearing how it's helped one very happy customer later in the show. Today's show has a longevity theme. And before we meet my expert guest today, let me tell you about my introduction to energy clearing event that's coming up on the 29th of February. Now, we're all energetic beings, and keeping our systems clear is an essential part of well-being, in my experience anyway. I explain how to clear the energy around us and within our bodies so that we can live a healthier, happier, longer life. It's an online event, so you can join no matter where you are, and I'd love you to join me at the end of February. You'll find a link to reserve your place at safehavenhealing.uk/events. That's safehavenhealing.uk/events. Now it's time for me to introduce Sarah Clough, the Movement for Longevity coach. After navigating a number of health challenges in her 40s, Sarah found herself to be a burnt-out fashion designer, desperate to feel whole again. Then she had a life-changing epiphany during a holiday in Turkey. Through engaging in daily Pilates, swimming, and generally embracing a holistic lifestyle, Sarah found a renewed sense of well-being, which led her to retrain as a Pilates instructor and ultimately become the rounded coach that she is today. Staying active, keeping fit physically and mentally as we age is an issue that's close to my heart, but I put it to Sarah that it's massively important for all of us.
It is of primary importance for so many reasons. And I think that we can, as a society, I think we tend to think that actually it gets less important as we get older, and actually it probably gets more important as we get older.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more there. It's because, I mean, I think about my mother. My mother stopped doing things like going for a walk and, you know, just generally being active. When she was younger, she walked everywhere. You know, she was always carrying shopping around and doing all that stuff. And as she got older, she just kind of became so sedentary.
This is the thing, we tend to conform to stereotypes, don't we? But I think what's really lovely at the moment is there is a whole sort of raft of women coming through who are just going, actually, I feel great and I want to stay feeling great. But there is a caveat, isn't there, that you have to work at it. It doesn't just happen magically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It doesn't just happen. No, it's really something that you have to constantly bear in mind, and you have to sometimes push yourself.
I think so. You have to become quite disciplined about it, don't you? But also just making sure that you do things that you enjoy. There's no point forcing yourself to do things that you don't enjoy, because you'll never stick with them. So it's finding little things that you can do each day rather than, oh, I'm going to go to the gym once a week and then after a couple of months I'm bored. It's integrating little things every day, the walk, the swim, the, I don't know, 20 squats when you're doing your teeth or whatever it is, just do little things, stretching in bed, you know, but it's moving throughout the day.
Yeah.
Which I think is so important. And I should just tell you about a lady I was talking to the other day, sort of relating to a program I have. And she is 86 years old, and the energy this lady had was unbelievable. She was just so wonderfully energizing and inspiring. But what got her going was this sense of purpose. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Having that sense of purpose that spurs you on. So she was a horse, is a horse breeder, absolutely adores her horses. And her big thing was, she said, you know, I still want to swing my leg up onto the saddle and get onto the horse. And
yeah, yeah.
86, a lot of people will have written her off, but not, you know, that isn't how it should be. We should be like her, and just challenging ourselves continually.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't talk to me about the last time I got on the back of a horse and I hadn't been exercising so much. Oh my word, the effect on my legs. When we came to the end of the ride, one of the girls at the stable said, you know, have you forgotten how to dismount? I said, no, I just don't think I can, because, you know, the legs just had turned to jelly. It was, but it's such good exercise. You know, maybe I wouldn't be doing it at the age of 86, because I might be a little bit scared about falling off at that age. But if you're a really accomplished horsewoman, why not?
She's been doing, she said she's been breeding horses since she was 9 years old.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and she was telling me, she says, oh, she says, I was a bit tired after yesterday. I said, so tell me what a day looks like. Well, she says, you know, I mucked out the horses, seven of them. I mucked out the horses. And then I did my vacuuming and I did this and I just, and I said, is that a day when you're, you know, taking it easy? She's going, well, yes, it is. I said, that's, you know, more than most people do in a day. So yeah, she's.
I love it. And you know, that that idea of just, is it called, do people refer to it as functional exercise? You know, just walking to work or walking to the shops. Now, you know, in the UK, a lot of us walk to the shops, but in the US, it's very difficult to walk to the shops, but you can do other things, and in other countries, but you can do other things like, you know, doing housework, doing your housework. It's great exercise. Housework is brilliant exercise.
It is. And I think that the magic there, well, for me, the magic is reframing it. It's like, I'm not really, actually don't particularly like cleaning, I must admit. But when I started reframing it and sort of thinking about how I was moving my body, obviously as a Pilates teacher, this is something that's you know, really quite central to me, and thinking about, yeah, so how am I actually positioning myself and how am I actually moving and what muscles am I engaging? And then it became sort of really quite, it was a workout, but something I was really aware of and enjoying doing. And I'm getting a job done at the same time.
Yeah. And so you touched on something there, which I think is actually quite important. It's noticing your body.
Mm-hmm.
I did it this morning. I noticed that I was sitting in a kind of slouchy way and I sort of straightened myself up, you know. Do you need to just sort of loosen up your shoulders a bit, do a little bit of, you know, work on that? It's very easy to do. And got a rebounder recently and started doing that. It's really great exercise as well. Yeah, it's fantastic. But, you know, it's not just, you know, it's not about just doing that every day or whenever. It's about doing different things, because different exercise, it targets different muscles, and our entire body needs a workout. And I think when you're getting older, I think it's easier maybe when you're younger to go out for a run and all that sort of thing. But as you get older, things do or can start to drop off a bit, right? And so it's just about being very careful about what you are doing with your body as well. So I don't like running, for instance. Never have done. Was never really very good at it, even at school. So I don't do that. I don't like jogging, but I do walk and I do swim and I do my own housework.
I think it's finding what suits you.
Yeah.
That's so important. Because it, like I said before, if you don't enjoy doing it, you are not going to do it.
No. And I love Pilates. And it's great that you're a Pilates teacher. I love Pilates. And I haven't done it for a while because there isn't anywhere really around here that I've found, around where I live, that I've found where I'd be happy doing it. But I absolutely adore it. Now, some people can't stand it.
It depends on the approach, because obviously everybody teaches it in different ways, doesn't it? Very much it is finding somebody who you resonate with. You know, I think that's really important. It teaches it in a way that you get, that you understand. I think a lot of people tend to come at it a little bit later in life because it's much more mindful movement.
Yeah.
So, and people, when we're younger, we tend to think we've got to throw ourselves around, we've got to be really energetic and da da da. And as we get older, as you say, your body starts, you've had some wear and tear over the years. Well, and rightly so, we've done things. We have to, and it doesn't heal as easily as it used to. So we have to be more mindful. And that's what Pilates teaches you. So you're starting internally and building out, but it's that whole mind-body connection thing, which is so beautiful. So it's almost like kind of meditation in motion. It's very beautiful. But it takes a little bit of time, maybe if you're used to really pushing yourself to understand the mechanics of it like that. And then once you do, then it can become incredibly challenging. But you have to kind of understand it, first of all, and your body.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And so I guess what I was starting to get to was there are certain types of exercise which are maybe more suited to somebody who's a little bit older. So Pilates is one. I mean, I guess yoga is another one. Funnily enough, I'm not as keen on yoga as I am on Pilates, but that might be because I really took against the whole kind of yoga bunny vibe in yoga studios. So I can't be doing with this. Very young girls who are very conscious of what they're doing. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. But I'm a lot older and can't be doing with all of that, basically. So Pilates was the one for me. So there's Pilates, there's yoga, but there are other forms of exercise, aren't there, I guess, that we can do
Tai
as we.
Chi. I mean, Tai Chi is another
Oh, Tai Chi,
beautiful
love
one.
it.
Balance, and again, that mind-body connection. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, Tai Chi, Qigong.
Yes. Yeah.
Same kind of idea.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's beautiful. And these are slow movements, mindful movements, but they are incredibly powerful. They really turn your body, don't they?
Do. But I think it's also important to remember that we need a really good mix of movements. So we've got to also have that cardio element.
Yeah.
Got to have that resistance element. And we need that whole package. So we cannot focus on just one thing. And I think that's really important that we need to understand that we have to get the heart rate elevated, whether it's a brisk walk, if you don't like running, but there's always ways to do it. But we need to get that element of aerobic and resistance and sort of that mindful movement as well, weights and all that sort of thing. We need that combination, that whole package, because it's not just working on the body. I mean, resistance work, it helps to balance insulin levels. So, when you're looking at metabolic conditions, and there's a huge increase in number of people who are struggling with type 2 diabetes. So, resistance training as we get older is a fantastic way to try and mitigate that. So there's all sorts of things we can do.
And I guess it has an effect on bone density as well, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it really does. I mean, Pilates is brilliant for that.
Mm.
Bone loading, yes. Because we know that our bone starts to diminish the density of it from quite a young age, like 30 years old. So we have to actively work at rebuilding that bone. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got that. That's the sort of skeleton and muscle side of it. But you've also got what's going on elsewhere. So you talked about insulin, for instance. So what are the other effects that having a good range of movement and workout and exercise will give us? What are the other benefits?
Cognitive health, that's another massive one. Massive. Because if you think about how we move, if we don't move, the brain doesn't have to think about it. So if we were just sitting in a chair, it doesn't take much work to sit in a chair. But just sort of moving and walking and things like that, the brain is having to do so many different calculations for everything that we do. It's assessing the terrain and everything. It's taking everything on board, so it's keeping the brain active. And there are all sorts of studies done, looking at dementia and things and movement, and it is so beneficial. Heart health, that's another one. Obviously that's more the cardio side of things. Yes, you've touched on bone density, sort of all sorts of metabolic conditions. I mean, literally it runs the gamut. And then it's not in terms of weight loss, But for maintaining optimal health, it's a great way to do that. You know, you're working on lean body mass, so developing better lean body mass, which is really important. So it's working at so many different levels. It really is. And it's also a great way, depending on the type of movement, to calm the nervous system down. And we know that, you know, we live in this heightened state of this fight or flight state with our lifestyle. So just trying to calm that sympathetic nervous system down, which again, we can do through mindful movement, you know. So everything works together beautifully. Our bodies are so beautifully designed if we work with them, how they're designed to be worked.
Our bodies are an extraordinary thing. It's so incredibly intricate, but working so well if we allow our bodies to work the way they should be working. And then, you know, talking about walking, it's great to, when you are walking, not just look down, for instance, but look up and, you know, look at what's around you. And if you're walking in a nature environment, so in the woods or just in fields, or if you're lucky enough, or even in a park, start noticing what's around you. That's really important as well, isn't it? It's not just the movement.
No. It's all the senses, isn't it? It's sight and sound and smell and everything. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Literally smell the roses.
Yes, yeah. Literally. Yeah.
And pay attention. And, you know, what I always do when I'm walking, and so this isn't so much to do again with the actual physical exercise, but I always listen out for what birds I can hear. I try to see if I can name them, or maybe I'll just remember what they sound like and I'll look it up when I get. It's you know, this constant learning thing as well. So that's important. That's an exercise for the brain.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then on the other side of things, you know, maybe you decide to walk with a friend.
Yeah.
And then we know that sense of community is so important. So, you know, there's so many benefits, aren't there, just from movement. And as you say, being in nature in particular, it's really, really good.
Absolutely. And everybody who listens to this show regularly will know by now that I swim off the coast here regularly. I swim with people. So you have that wonderful camaraderie, that sense of community. We get the cold water, the effects of that. We are in nature, which is so soothing. Mm-hmm. And we have a cup of tea afterwards and a natter. How often, I can't tell you, do we sit there looking out at the view across the water and say, this is just perfect. This is mm-hmm. just lovely. And that's such a wonderful state to get into.
I think it's so important. It's like that being in the moment, isn't it? We're so often, you know, thinking about the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. But actually having that time and appreciating the moment that you're in is just so powerful, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. Yeah. Mm. And it sets you up for the day. Mm-hmm. So if we go swimming in the morning, I mean, we've done things like moonlight swims as well, where the full moon, which have been absolutely gorgeous. It's magical. So doing things like that, getting out of your armchair, that's number one.
Yep.
I think people are saying these days that one of the main killers these days is just sitting.
Yes, the sedentary lifestyle. Absolutely. Yes.
And we'll hear more from Sarah about how to get ourselves out of that sedentary lifestyle in a moment. First, it's time to take a short break. We'll be back right after these messages.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my expert guest today, Sarah Clough, the movement and longevity coach. We've been talking about different forms of exercise for body and mind, and how sitting too much in a day has become a major health risk. So I asked Sarah for anyone who's past their first flush of youth, let's say, and who maybe doesn't have the spare cash to go and spend it on Pilates or yoga sessions, What can that person do easily right now, today, after listening to this show?
The first thing I would say is just go for a walk. You know, even if it's, I have a lady who's just joined me and she was struggling to stand up, even to do the washing up. You know, she had to sit down. And she's literally just messaged this morning and she said 2 weeks in, she says it's unbelievable. She's she had a walk with her friends at the weekend. She'd never been able to do that for years. She's doing all these exercises. I mean, there's videos online that you can do as long as you choose somebody that is reputable. There are videos you can do online. But just having somebody believe in you and you believing in yourself that you can go out and do these things, I think is massive. Just getting out and doing it, that's the main thing. And it can be 5 minutes. It doesn't matter. But if you keep saying, I will do it when, it's never going to happen. It's literally, you need to decide now, I'm just going to do this. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going to get out and I'm going to go for a walk. And as soon as we put plans into action, that's when the magic happens, isn't it?
You are so right. And I know that if I haven't been walking for a while, you know, it takes a couple of days to get back into it. I do try to walk 2-3 miles a day. It's amazing how quickly you can get back into shape, how quickly it can positively impact your body. And after you've just got moving for a little while, just then start pushing yourself a little bit more. You know, try going uphill or just try doing something a little bit more strenuous and you'll find that you really build up a great, well, it just affects your whole body.
You're absolutely, absolutely spot on. We have to keep challenging ourselves. Yeah. And again, it comes back to the brain as well, because as soon as the brain is not challenged, it goes, you know, I'll take a break, because your brain uses 25% of your energy. So, you know, it's going to try and offload some of it if it can. Yes. So the movement is in, and challenging yourself is so important, not just from that sort of physical perspective, but from that mental perspective as well. You know, you've got to, you know, you've walked 5 minutes a day, you know, tomorrow, let's see if we can do 8 minutes. Let's, you know, and as you say, every day, just gradually build it up. But the thing is to do it every day or as often as you possibly can, not go, I'll do it once a week.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, sometimes it's a bit challenging doing it every day, but whenever you can.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're right. Not just say, oh, well, you know, I'll do that once a week or I'll do that on Friday, on a Monday, because it'll be fine then. And I won't. No, do it now. Do it today.
Absolutely.
Make the time.
Yeah.
And there is that thing as well about making the time.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we get a little bit older and so many things come into our life that we have to deal with. We've maybe got children. We've maybe got aged parents. We've maybe got a whole raft of things. We've got work, mm-hmm. a whole raft of things that we have to deal with. But make the time.
I think it's prioritizing things, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, your health is your most valuable thing. If you haven't got it, life can be pretty miserable.
Yeah.
And one of my sayings is that it's kind of like if you're on an aeroplane and they always say to you, if there's a problem, then and the oxygen masks come down, you must put your own oxygen mask on first before you help anybody else.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with our health. You know, if you do not look after yourself, you're of no use to anybody else.
No, that is true. That is true. And, you know, I've been guilty of it myself in the past. You know,
I think as women, most of us are, to be honest with you, aren't we? We always tend to put other people first, but actually we do need to start putting ourselves first. And it's not selfish, is it? It's actually essential. And then we're in a stronger position to then help other people.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, there is no reason at all why we should get to 60s, 70s, 80s, even later, and be fully fit.
Mm. Oh, we should be. It should be the norm. I mean, we tend to see it as abnormal to be fit and older, but it should be the norm.
It absolutely
should be the norm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was reading something at the weekend about a woman, I think it was in her 90s, and was stunning everybody because she was so fit, absolutely a picture of health and fitness. And, you know, everybody suddenly goes, oh my, wow, look at how old she is and look at how fit she is. That's amazing. Well, it doesn't have to be, does it?
No, no. And hopefully, you know, people like ourselves that love being active, and hopefully we'll become the role models for younger generations. So they will just go, yeah, that's just how it is. You know, I'm going to be fit and healthy and active right until the day I die. You know, that's what we all want, isn't it?
It's true. It's true.
Healthy longevity.
Yeah. And I noticed that a lot of the people, it's mostly women who swim off the coast here, I've noticed. And women of a certain age. In fact, there's a group in the village called the Menopausal Mermaids. So, you know, yeah. So that'll give you an idea. But we see more and more younger people coming on board and giving it a go. But again, it's that thing where people say, oh, you're so brave. Oh, I couldn't do that. Well, you could, you can. And it's so good for you. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, absolutely brilliant for your metabolism and for everything else, you know, cognitively and everything else. And you do see, you do have to push yourself to do it.
You do.
It's there are some days where I think, oh, I don't know. But then I know that I'll be letting somebody down if I don't turn up. So I go. And so you're saying to yourself, oh, God, it's cold. I'm going to get cold. And you push through that. And you absolutely love it
afterwards. Yeah.
You absolutely love it. Exactly. You feel brilliant afterwards. You feel brilliant once you've got over that hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that does is it develops a kind of resilience. We've noticed a lot of us who've been doing it for, well, this is my third winter now. We noticed that we're more resilient in other areas of our lives as well.
I mean, scientifically, it's been proven, hasn't it, that has that effect on people. It triggers something called hormesis, which is basically comes back to your nervous system. So we were talking about the fight or flight and to live in that sort of heightened state. But the body does need to have the fight or flight triggered, but just not maintained for long periods of time. But that's exactly what the cold water swimming does. So it shocks the body. So you've got this fight or flight response, but then you come out of it and the body calms down. And that's how our body is designed to be. So that's, you know, one of the reasons it's just so beneficial for you.
It is. And the other thing that I've noticed, just by the by, is that I don't get quite so cold anymore. Yeah. It's really interesting because my body's now adapted to being cold more regularly. And so is it that I don't feel cold as much, or that I don't fear being cold as much? There's something going on there which I haven't quite put my finger on, but it's a really interesting phenomenon. So yeah, so just get out, have a walk. You don't have to go cold water swimming. And by the way, I would say to anybody thinking of doing it, you might not want to start in the middle of winter, which is kind of where we are right now. They keep threatening more snow, but hopefully spring will not bring us any more snow. Yeah, start in the summer when, you know, you've got more of a chance of warming up when you get out and it's not quite so challenging. But going for a walk right from the get-go, what would you say about, I see a lot of adverts online for, you know, kind of chair exercises and that sort of thing. What are your thoughts about those?
Again, I believe that we should be challenging ourselves. Now, there are certain populations that maybe need to start with chair-based exercises. But if you're exercising in a chair, you're not strengthening up your glute muscles, your buttocks, and we need strong glutes. They support our back, our hips, you know, they help with our knees. And I would, the one thing I would say is there's something called a sit to stand. So you're sort of pressing through the heels, engaging the glute muscles and pushing up out of your heels to get up out of the chair rather than using arms. And even just trying to do that is a great thing to do. So chair-based workouts have their place, but don't use them as sort of the be all and end all. They're definitely not. They're for people that really can't get up and move around. They have their place, but if you're able to walk and challenge yourself and keep moving, really.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that isn't quite made clear when these things are being advertised online. You know, it's shown to be an easy way to get fit, but yeah, I agree with you.
It's not a full body fitness, is it, at the end of the day?
No, exactly. And I was at something the other evening, and the person running the event started talking to us about fitness, and she got us all standing on one leg.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
For a minute.
Brilliant.
With eyes open, mm-hmm. and then with eyes closed.
Mm. And that's a challenge.
The challenge doing it with eyes closed is extraordinary.
Yes.
But yeah. It's a great thing to do. It's a simple thing to do.
Mm. It is. And there's tiny things that we can all do throughout the day like that, that really do benefit us physically, mentally, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I remember making somebody laugh recently when I said I dance around the kitchen.
Yeah, and... perfect.
But you can if nobody's watching.
If they're watching too, get them involved too.
You can do it if they're watching too. But, you know, just stuff like that. You know, if you've got the radio on or something, just have a dance. Dance. Yeah. Dance is great, isn't it? Great exercise.
Beautiful. Yeah. And again, it's that those... cognitively, it's helping us. It's all the feel-good hormones that we're releasing, the endorphins, the dopamine fix. It's, yeah, everything. It's great.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, basically, it's a mistake to think that exercise is just toning muscle.
Yeah, it's much more.
It's much, much more than that. And we need it more than ever as we get older. We need to make sure that we're getting what we need. Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, tell us more about where people can find you, and tell us about whether you've got anything online that can help people, that sort of thing, because we're just about coming to the end of our chat, but I want to make sure that people know where they can find out more about you.
Thank you. So yes, I teach actually all online now. So I do regular live classes online 5 days a week, and I have a website, which is my name. So it's sarahclough.co.uk. I also have some videos up on YouTube people can access as well. And then I also have an online program, 12-week program, that's specifically aimed at people who are trying to rehabilitate lower back issues. But my big passion is healthy longevity. So the protocols I use for all the movement I teach are actually protocols for healthy longevity. So I'm sort of known as the movement for longevity coach, because I just so believe in movement as a foundation for achieving healthy longevity. So yeah, the movement for longevity coach on Instagram as well. So there we are.
And I think when we talked before, I said that I was a member of the 100 plus club, and you said, is that really a club? I said, no, not really, but
I think there should be.
but there should be, yeah. And I would be absolutely a paid up member of that, because there is no reason why we shouldn't live that long to 100 and more. Lots of people do.
They do. But you notice it's the people that have that real passion for life and sense of purpose and are interested in life and in other people. Mm.
Yeah. Yes. Don't give up on life.
No.
It's a wonderful thing. And there's so many things that we can do if we're able. And we just need to maintain our body so that we are able to do and achieve all the things that we want to achieve. Yeah. And just before we go, how did you come to be a longevity coach, movement for longevity coach?
Interesting. So during, I had a physical studio, and in lockdown, obviously had to go online. And a lot of my clients I noticed that were with me online were sort of 50 plus. And because we were online, I was able then to do 30 minute classes, and they were able to come every day. So they just fitted it into the day. It was brilliant. And I suddenly started seeing this huge improvement in everybody's health and fitness and what they were able to do. It was quite amazing. So rather than coming, you know, two or three times a week, they were literally, you know, exercising each day. And then it got me thinking about sort of why were they able to do a lot of the things that people in their 30s and 40s were really struggling with? So then I started really researching it and studying about longevity and all the protocols involved. And actually, one of the starting points was the Blue Zones. And it's not rocket science, but I wanted to understand the science behind it. Mm. So I set myself this task of really studying and learning and researching. And just sort of, you know, working through different things with my clients as well, and just to see what worked. And that's basically how it's all come along. And also seeing so many people going, yeah, I don't want to get old. Mm-hmm. You know, younger people, or younger people teaching older people how to do exercise when they actually haven't a clue what's going on with their bodies.
Yes.
And I kind of thought, yeah, they don't get it.
Yeah.
So I thought there was a real need for somebody who understood an older body and was willing to challenge people to challenge themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Well, I think that's absolutely brilliant. Much needed. And thank you very, very much for stepping up and helping people of a certain age and older to really keep their bodies in shape so that we can live long and prosper, as Mr. Spock would say in Star Trek.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
It's been a joy having you on the show. Thank you so much, Sarah. Wonderful. Do go to sarahclough.co.uk to find out more. The blue zones she mentioned are those areas of the world where people do live longer than most. They've been the subject of a lot of research over recent years, and we've talked about them in more depth in previous shows here. Community, diet, and exercise would appear to be key to longevity within those areas. Now it's time for another break, and I'll be back with another positive well-being story in a few minutes, right after we hear these short messages.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and this show is brought to you in association with Nasal Guard. Now, if you haven't tried it yet, Nasal Guard is the ideal companion for travellers and anyone suffering from allergies or needing to stop airborne particles from causing irritation. I was curious to hear how some users have been getting on with it, and I caught up with Janet Costello in the United States. Now, she's been a fan for around 4 years now. We started our chat with Janet telling me how she came to use Nasal Guard in the first place.
I could not recall if I had been doing some research first, or I had run into it in a retailer and then begun looking at what is this, how does it work, what is their credibility. But it was definitely coincided with the beginning of the pandemic, and it made a lot of sense to me.
Okay. And did it make a lot of difference as well?
So, right. It's hard. It's going to be hard to tell, but I can tell you that I was not a mask wearer for a lot of reasons, and it is what it is. I did what I had to do to comply with local standards. I also went out to work a retail job with the public, kind of in the middle of it. So I needed to get out of my house. I needed to do something different. And I thought to myself, well, this is a really good time to put this stuff to the test.
I
did use it any chance I was, like, legally or mandate-wise permitted to not wear a mask. I did not. Any social activities I could do. I mean, I stayed really well during the pandemic. What can you do with that? I have some interesting other facets. I have two children. One of my sons has Down syndrome, but also happens to have alopecia. And alopecia, he has no eyebrows, no eyelashes, no hair. So your eyebrows and eyelashes, they're a big defense mechanism. So I've been working with him for a really long time. He does not love nasal guard, but I'm working with him and we have gotten it on him on a lot of occasions, because I feel like there's a huge benefit, you know, to people who don't have that first line of defense. And a couple of times in very, very dusty, very debris, we did a fair that had, we walked on dirt paths.
Yeah.
It was a very dusty event. And I put nasal guard right where his eyebrows would be. And I could actually see, I could see dirt and dust all stuck to that area, which means it wasn't going in his eyes.
Yeah.
So there's a definite application there. I just think for people who are more motivated, he's probably not the best test subject, but I could see how it could be very, very helpful to people with alopecia.
Yeah, I can see that too. And the fact that you could actually see that it was attracting the dust. I reckon that, you know, if you maybe the beach or, you know, somewhere like in the summertime, maybe you're in a bit of a desert area where there's a lot of dust swirling around, it would be a good thing to use. Yeah.
I agree. I agree. So he's, I still work with him. I also work for a professional organizer cleaning, you know, organizing people's homes. But one of the aspects we do is basements and garages. And I actually had an incident where I forgot that I had been utilizing nasal guard and got started in a basement and became very, very sorry that I didn't have it. But I found it in my car, in my purse. So I was able to go wash my face, restart the day, use my nasal guard, and it makes a humongous difference with dust and all that kind of stuff that you're unlodging in people's dirty, dusty basements.
Basements, garages, attics, full of dust, right? Yeah.
Full of it, full of it. And I would always end the day feeling like, am I getting sick? Am I getting a cold? But it would just be the exposure. And I know for a fact that in those circumstances, nasal guard's been a really, really helpful tool for cleaning and, you know, dust removal, debris removal.
So how long have you been using nasal guard?
I'm guessing it's about a little over 4 years.
And you still find it really efficacious when you remember to use it.
I do. And I, like I said, I've been out and about with the public in close contact during, you know, a difficult time. And I feel like I have stayed, you know, really well. I, you know, how are you going to judge that? But
yeah, it's very difficult to quantify that, isn't it? Very difficult to say that that was because of nasal guard. However, yeah, and if you weren't wearing a mask, then it's the next best thing, isn't it?
I feel like it's better.
Yeah.
It made more sense to me. Many, many years ago, my son, who has special needs, had a very unconventional allergist immunologist who was kind of experimenting with a very similar concept for kids that were very immunocompromised. And he had us doing, 25 years ago, had us doing some very similar concept things. And I thought, you know, if that same concept had come around again you know, keeping nasal passages very clean and possibly having some type of somewhat sticky barrier, it made sense to him. It made sense to me. So it just made sense to use it.
And I love the fact that it's drug free as well. There's no, you know, no nasties in there. So
that's a big deal. That's a big deal for me. I don't do well. I'm not a person who does well with pharmaceuticals, chemical exposures. I've had no problems with nasal guard. I have sensitive skin. I've had no problem with nasal guard. I thought at some points, like, I guess the question, what if it doesn't work? You know, the price point is very, very good. I feel like it was a manageable, like, I'm going to give this a try.
Yeah.
Because I'm not committing hundreds of dollars. It was very nominal and it lasts a long time.
Yeah. So like why not give it a go, right? Yeah.
Why
exactly.
Not?
So there we are, one very happy customer. I wish Janet well in her endeavours with her son. Once again, this show was brought to you in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants, as well as indoor and outdoor allergens, so it's perfect for travellers and allergy sufferers alike. You can order it through the UK Health Radio website homepage, so why not follow Janet's lead and try it for yourself? Remember to follow me as The Practical Alchemist on Facebook and Instagram, and head over to safehavenhealing.uk to reserve your energy clearing introduction spot. All of which brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening. Join me next time for more alchemy, but until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.